Hello and welcome to Podcast of the Lotus Eaters, Christmas algorithm feeding pre-recorded slot vids. Right, more or less it. I'm joined by Bo.
All right.
Yes. So apparently we've got to keep the algorithm fed while we're eating turkey and pudding crackers and whatever else. So Bo and I were commissioned to do something and we decided to do our Christmas recommendations. Check out the graphic, which is very good. I don't know why we employ all these editors when I can do that in Paint in 20 minutes. But, you know, there we are. And we're going to be talking about books in this one, aren't we?
Right, yeah, our favourite books. A few book recommendations.
A few book recommendations for Christmas. So I'm going to have to start with the Flashman series, the greatest series of fictional novels that has ever been written, in my opinion.
It's up there.
Does anything contend with Flashman?
For me, Sharp. Bernard Cornwell Sharp.
It's a similar
theme. I'm also a massive fan of Hornblower stories,
yes,
and the Master and Commander ones. But Flashman is up there. It's very, very, very good.
I mean, the reason...
It's funnier than Sharp.
Yes.
Sharp's not very funny. This is funny.
The reason they all tie together is because actually all of those books that you just mentioned and Flashman, they're all teaching you history.
Yeah.
Everything that happens in these books is historical fact, and the author clearly knows his stuff. I mean, right down to the level of reading the papers and the diaries of the people involved. Except what he has done is he has inserted an absolute bastard into the narrative, a self-serving, cowardly bastard,
yeah,
who through his attempts to dodge any danger whatsoever and be a complete cad, ends up finding himself at every major historical battle that the British were involved in the 18th century, starting with the retreat from Afghanistan. So, and I love these because you learn so much history, but it's not dry in the slightest. It's not, oh, this battle happened here and blah, 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 blah. It's no, you're in it. And he's chasing women and he's coming a cropper at the hands of jealous husbands and over-ambitious generals and all the rest, incompetent generals. Bloody brilliant stuff.
Yeah, no, like Captain Jack from Master and Commander and Hornblower from Hornblower and Richard Sharp from Sharp, they're all heroes in various ways.
Mm.
Some more brutal than others, but they're all heroes and they're all goodies and it's a very, they're all serious narratives.
Yes.
And it's all very serious and a little bit dry. I love them, but a little bit dry. Flashman is pure entertainment,
yes,
funniness, and he's not heroic. He's
no,
not heroic.
Not in the slightest.
He's a coward.
Yes.
But that's interesting and that's funny and that's entertaining.
Well, and the funnier thing is he always comes out smelling like roses.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
That's why it's funny and why it's entertaining and good.
He ends up coming out of the retreat from Afghanistan looking like an absolute bloody hero when he was anything not. So Christmas top reading, I would say. That's my number one book recommendation. And I know you've gone for something a bit more classic, a bit of Decline and Fall.
Much more serious. Mm. Much more serious. Perhaps a reflection of our characters. I am a bit more dry. Mm. But no, if you're going to go for serious, some serious history, the gold standard is Edward Gibbon,
right,
writing at the very end of the 18th century. And he wrote a very, very large book, The Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire. Mm. It's so long that you nearly always you'll see it in many volumes.
Three volumes or something?
Well, I've got mine in six volumes.
Oh, right, okay. It's a big book.
And even if you do find one big thick volume, you'll probably see that's abridged.
Right.
If you find the audiobook somewhere, even though it'll be 30 hours long, it'll still be the abridged version. The full thing is very, very, very long.
But if you want to know about the decline and fall of the Roman Empire, this is it, is it?
This is it. It's the gold standard.
It's better than modern books on the same subject.
Oh, yeah. Of course, it doesn't suffer from any wokeness or anything like that. It's back. It's 200 plus years old. And he's read everything there is to read.
Mm.
So you don't need to go out and read some obscure 3rd century account. Gibbon's done it for you.
When did he write this?
Right at the end of the 18th century.
Oh, okay.
The very, very late 1700s, or into the early 1800s.
So zero wokeness.
Oh, yeah. It's like 200 years old plus. So, so it's the decline and fall of the Roman Empire. So it nominally starts at the age of the Antonines and goes through to the fall of Rome in the West with Alaric and actually a bit beyond. But he does go back and talk about, occasionally go back and talk about the Republic or the first Caesars. But it's really from the first century AD through to like the 5th century AD, 4th, 5th century AD. So if you're interested in that part of history, basically the bulk of the Roman Empire, not really including the first Caesars, although, as I say, he does go back and talk about Augustus and Tiberius and Caligula from time to time, but more as an aside mainly. If you're interested in the Roman Empire and how and why it collapsed, Edward Gibbon.
Does he cover Byzantium?
Not really. Well, a bit. So he covers he goes all the way through the age of Constantine, and he goes much beyond that as well. So the first bit of Byzantine history, but right. Does he go up to the 15th century, 1452? No.
Right.
But that's
not Rome then.
In my opinion, it is. But
oh, okay.
He set himself the task of going up to the fall of. Yeah. Actually goes beyond that. He goes up to Justinian and beyond. So anyway, you get the first few hundred years of the Byzantine period, but he doesn't go up to, like I say, the 11th, 12th century or anything like that.
But to be fair enough, his word count was already pretty strong at that point. So yeah, you can't fault him really.
Yeah.
Next up, I've got Horus Rising. So so this is the thing. I was never interested in Warhammer until I joined here and I found out that everybody was a Warhammer fan. So I thought, well, I'm not going to do the little plastic figurine thing. I'll read the lore. And I was surprised to discover it's actually really bloody good.
Yeah.
It is. Yeah, and what it's about is it's about the sort of it's the decline and fall of a later Imperium. And the reason it's such good sci-fi is because it is also completely and utterly unwoke. It is utterly masculine. And it's also it can be grim and on occasions dark. But I just find it's the only sci-fi where I could actually think, oh yeah, this could actually happen, because it's got none of the high-minded ideals. It's got all the corruption. It's got all the infighting, and it's just such a thoroughly bloody masculine book. If you read this, it will put at least 30% extra hair on your testicles reading this book. It is so masculine, so unwoke, and such a refreshing change from the sort of bullshit we get these days.
There is the thing for the 40K universe that in the distant future there is only war.
Yes.
So it's like unremittingly dark.
Yes.
Yeah, I love Warhammer. I've played Warhammer ever since I was, I don't know, 7 or 8 years old. Gave it up in my teens, but actually playing the tabletop game. The lore is great. Yeah, the Horus Heresy, the Emperor.
Surprisingly deep.
The Emperor of Man.
Yes.
The heresy of Horus, his right-hand man. And that whole saga.
Yes.
It's great stuff. It's great stuff.
Brilliant. You've also gone serious for your second pick, The Lives.
Yeah, well, when I was asked to recommend some books, the first ones that always come to my mind are histories, ancient history. That is my thing, first and foremost.
Yes.
Not just history, not just politics, but specifically ancient history. So
why is this one so good then?
Well, Plutarch is... people, different ancient historians, classicists might disagree with me on this, argue with me about this, but it's, again, one of the gold standards. When you want to go back and learn about certain people or certain periods in ancient history, sometimes it's only Plutarch you've got.
Mm.
So in those terms alone, it's fantastically important.
So when was this written?
He's in the 1st century, 2nd century AD.
Okay.
Is very often talking about much earlier people. So, for example, you've got a biography of Alexander, Julius Caesar, Augustus, Antony, on and on and on and on and on.
Thing that occurs to me is he probably would have had access to sources that we just don't have.
That's true,
There was that Library of Alexander that burnt down a few times.
Alexandria. Yeah.
So he no doubt had access to sources that we just simply don't have anymore. We just got Plutarch.
Absolutely no doubt. It's frustrating that a lot of ancient historians don't mention their sources very often, but sometimes they do. Very occasionally Plutarch will mention, I got this bit of information from this person who's entirely lost to us. So we know for a fact he had access to material we don't have, which makes it, again, just pure gold dust. And anyway, if you're interested in ancient history, really reading the original texts, Plutarch, there's a few names, Herodotus, Thucydides... Polybius, Plutarch, Suetonius. Well, good question. A lot of them were copied in late antiquity and the early medieval period by monks, usually Christian monks. They were copied by hand. So it's luck, really, what did and didn't get copied, what did and didn't get burnt down destroyed and lost over the centuries. So yeah, it's luck often. Like, for example, Tacitus, we'll talk about in a moment. There's only a handful of copies, two or three copies original of Tacitus, and even they aren't extant. They aren't complete. So it's fragments, really. We've got fragments often from the ancient world. But anyway, a lot of Plutarch has survived. So sometimes, like, you want a biography of one of Alexander's generals who went on to become extremely important in the generation after Alexander. It was only Plutarch that we've got. So, and the other thing, it was all in translation. He wrote in Greek originally, but it's all in translation if you buy a Penguin paperback now. But it's relatively easy to read. Okay. It's not like Gibbon is quite difficult to read.
Mm.
You know, even someone like Shakespeare, to be honest, it's quite difficult. You have to get your ear in. You have to get used to it. Whereas this, in translation anyway, it's very accessible. You can just pick it up and read it. And if you're interested in ancient history, it's the best, among the best.
For my third pick, I thought I'd do a double act. I'd throw in the Bible and the Quran.
That's interesting. I didn't think you'd pick that.
Well, yes. I mean, it is a Christmas stream, so you've got to have a bit of Bible in there. My overwhelming impression of the Bible was old Christianity is not like modern Christianity. That was a big take. I mean, to be fair, God was a bit... He's a bit rum, the way he treats some of the people.
In the scriptures, in the Old Testament.
Yeah.
Right.
You can see why modern Christians tend to gravitate towards the New Testament when you read the Old Testament.
Mm.
I mean, it is a bit... I mean, he turns a woman into a pile of salt because she looks over her shoulder. It's like, meh.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a bit rough.
I mean, I imagine you're talking about the King James Bible.
Yes.
Because there's many, many translations of the Bible.
I mean, you should probably read whatever's easiest.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'd say try the King James. It's the OG.
Yes. Yes.
Anyway, I've read the Bible all the way through a couple of times, some of the Gospels more than once, some of the stories in the Scriptures more than once. But yeah, you're quite right to say that the God as appears in the Old Testament is very fire and brimstone often. And the way Jesus of Nazareth talks about God in the Gospels is very different.
Yeah,
it's all loving and all forgiving.
Yeah,
it's like, well, that's not...
They don't quite match up.
I remember the story just a few pages.
It's like they changed the actor in the second film. Didn't admit it.
Why the Quran then?
The Quran is interesting because, I mean, for a start, it's if you think reading the Bible is hard work, the Quran is just a complete mess.
It's a slog.
It's
a real slog.
It's just all over the place. I mean,
it's not a narrative with a story and characters, as a lot of the scriptures and the gospels are. It's more like just a set of statements a set of demands. Do this, don't do that.
Yes.
Just a list, almost like just a list of that.
It's
the hadiths, really, that tell the story of the life of Muhammad.
There's a bit more story in there, yeah.
The Quran itself is very, very dry.
So the bit about riding to the moon and cutting it in half on the back of a unicorn, I mean, that is hadiths, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a bit more exciting. I mean, actually, we were talking about this before. Probably the better book on Islam is Tom Holland. I know he's a woke historian, but Tom Holland's in the Shadow of the Sword, because the story of Muhammad is actually quite epic.
Yeah,
you know, he doesn't do anything with his life until he's 40. Then he founds this religion, doesn't go anywhere for 10 years because he's preaching peace, and then he moves from Mecca to Medina, and he's like, oh, let's try changing this up a bit. Let's make this a warlord religion, where basically you can do anything you like to anyone who isn't a Muslim, but don't do it to a Muslim, and also kick up 10% to me. And that turned out to be a business model that took over everything. And actually, his story of winning basically the whole of Arabia is actually quite an epic story.
Yeah, yeah, if you believe it. Because you mentioned, Tom Holland and other scholars have questioned the chronology of events, shall we say.
Mm. But nevertheless,
as it stands,
yes,
fascinating story.
And
given
the influence that Islam has on our modern world and on modern Europe, I feel it kind of behooves you to dig under the skin a little bit.
Know your enemy.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Bit of that.
And it is an interesting story. There's no doubt about that.
And finally, you've gone for the annals.
Annals. Tacitus. Yeah. If Plutarch is a gold standard, then Tacitus is the gold standard.
Right.
Again, talking about ancient history, if you're interested in the lives of the Caesars, the age of the Caesars, And it's not extant. So, for example, all of the reign of Caligula is missing from Tacitus. But he wrote the histories and he wrote the annals. Again, if you're not a big reader, get it on audiobook. In fact, I'm sure it's free on YouTube as an audiobook, like a LibriVox recording or whatever. If you're interested in history and you really want to know it, you don't want to rely on someone like Tom Holland or Mary Beard or some 19th, 20th or 21st century shill, even me. You go straight to the source. You go to the horse's mouth. You go to people like Suetonius, Tacitus, Polybius.
When was Tacitus writing?
Again, the first century.
Okay.
He's writing in like the age of, Diocletian, the age of Hadrian and Trajan.
Okay.
Yeah, he was a young man under Domitian, and he was an older man writing under the age of Hadrian and Trajan type times.
Okay.
So into the second century AD.
Okay. So is his depiction of Trajan any good then, given that he was the boss at the time?
He doesn't talk a great deal about Trajan.
Right. Well, he's one of the good ones, wasn't he?
Unless he was on the other end of his armies.
Well, yes.
But, you know, Trajan is considered an unbelievable success. He did a massive Alexander-style campaign in the East.
Yeah.
Or a Pompey-style campaign in the East and just swept everything in his path. Mm. Letters were coming back from the East almost every day to the Senate in Rome saying, I've just beaten another king. I've just beaten another peoples. I just won another battle. And they couldn't keep up with it. They're like, you're too successful with anything. Like Alexander, you're too successful. We'll never be able to...
They got tired of winning, did they?
Yeah, yeah. Almost. Almost. Yeah, no, Trajan's a winner. There's no two ways about that.
Excellent.